Hi, everybody. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Tuesday announced in a video posted on X that the CDC will no longer recommend routine COVID-19 vaccinations for healthy kids and pregnant women.
As of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule.
The CDC, following its panel of outside experts, had previously recommended updated COVID vaccines for everyone aged 6 months and older. But Kennedy, a longtime vaccine skeptic, said there wasn't enough, quote, clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children. Here's FDA Commissioner Marty McCarry.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
According to the CDC's website, studies with hundreds of thousands of people around the world show that COVID vaccination before and during pregnancy is safe, effective, and beneficial to both the woman and baby. COVID vaccine makers Moderna and Pfizer did not immediately respond to requests for comment.
Well, Sandy Rios with you today. How much time did we spend talking about COVID vaccines and COVID in 2019, 2020, 21, 22 probably? How many people called me from the military who were being forced to take the vaccination, who'd had injuries? How many of you shared stories with me? And I just, we went through it together, and certainly it was a passion of mine, but I have not followed up with it. And so much is happening. And in that clip right there, they're referring to a statement, an announcement made in May of 2025, which I haven't talked about, but it's time I did, that had to do with children in the vaccine. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. But the thing I want to point out, that was Reuters. And did you notice any bias in there? That's Kennedy is, he believes in these theories. And they played like total little phrases of the actual statement, but not the actual statement. They couldn't dare let you hear everything that was said. And we're going to get into that. But the reason I'm covering it today is because I saw a story by Alex Berenson. Alex is used to be a New York Times writer. He's written some great stuff. He used to be my guest. I haven't had him on in years. He's very busy now. And so I'm just going to share his information. But in Moderna, they did a whole study called Kid Cove Trial. And Alex is exposing the fact that in all of this trial where they tested, a couple of thousand, 3,000 kids maybe, one kid had an episode and died. That's the one they did that you can find if you look hard enough. But they covered it up. It was a child. It was a small child, 6 months to 5 years. That's the age span, who died taking that, I believe it was the booster. And so that really caught my eye, and it just made me think, I've got to get back into this and figure out what's actually happening. So I have some concerning but very important information for you today on this show. So I hope that you won't touch that dial and you'll stay with me. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Call us, please, at 662-821-2040 and leave a message so that we can hear your voices. It's great to know who's listening. 662-821-2040. It's also great to hear what you're thinking. Also, you can go to sandy@afr.net if you'd rather, send an email kind of telling me what's on your mind. sandy@afr.net. You can find us on social media platforms. And also, you can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform, including sandyrios.com, which is my website. It's easy. If you're not a podcaster or you're not used to it, that's very, very simple, sandyrios.com. If not, and in addition, those of you that are American Family Radio listeners and have been for years, because I was on the show on the radio with AFA every morning for 10 years in the morning show. So go to afr.net, and that will, give you a really good way. You just have to look for a podcast, and you'll find Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, it's the Christmas season, and when Mary said, she gives this beautiful, beautiful response when the angel Gabriel tells her she's going to have a baby, even though she's a virgin. It's amazing, honestly, the depth. She says, let it be done to me according to your word. Lord, I know I'm only a kid, and I've never known a man. I don't even know quite what that means. And yet you're going to make me pregnant with a child. I'm going to be facing the disgrace. I've got to explain it to my fiancé, Joseph. But Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. What kind of faith does a girl have to say that? I would say great faith and depth. And when you read that whole Song of Mary, you understand maybe why God chose her to be the mother of his son. It's pretty amazing. Well, today, countless mothers face the same moment of decision when they see their baby on ultrasound, whether to keep it or let it go. They're scared, they're unsure, and their moment to say yes could pass, but you can make a difference right now. Because of the generosity of so many of you who listen and give just generously to preborn clinics, you can save a baby, and you can also save the mom in a different way. Maybe not her life. Chances are not her life, but her eternal life, her eternity, the part of her that'll never die is still to be determined. And it makes a difference how we live our lives and what choices we make. And apart from that, even if she is a believer in Christ, however maybe disobedient she would be to choose an abortion, it's the abundant life that she'll be missing. There's a lot of stake. It's the life of the baby, and it's really the life in a different way of the mother. And so if you'd like to help support preborn, and so many of you have, and I'm so grateful. I truly am. And of course, we could not do this show if we didn't have their support. But if you want to give a really good Christmas gift, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. All right. So today we're going to be kind of tracking what that announcement was all about. And there are lots of updates, and I have updates on the dangers to children even now. It's amazing to me that we are slow walking, even with the new CDC and the new Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert Kennedy Jr., who RFK Jr., who wants to get this right, is in the midst of such poison. It's hard for him to sort this out. And I think by the time I talk to you and update you about what's going on, you're going to be enthused or motivated to actually help him to accomplish what he got in there, and what he was nominated to do, and that's get rid of these really untested, dangerous vaccines. And we'll talk about that, or their shots, actually, not vaccines, to correct myself. We'll talk about all of that on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
This next story is pretty cute. Elmo, the furry red resident of Sesame Street, is now one of the Americans under the age of 5 who received the COVID vaccine.
Wow.
You were super duper today, getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
Yeah, there was a little pinch, but that was okay.
I just love that voice. The new public service announcement, in it, Elmo's dad said he had a lot of questions and concerns about getting Elmo vaccinated, but he talked to his pediatrician to make the right choice. It was produced by the nonprofit Sesame Street Workshop in partnership with the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And in case you are wondering, Elmo has been 3 and a half since 1984.
Back to the PSA. I think it's a brilliant idea because we've heard from Monica when she comes and reports to us about the likelihood of parents vaccinating their 5 and under.
How do you explain it to them?
How do you explain it to them? And B, there's a lot of skepticism still, even though we know that it's been approved and that it is safe and everything else. The number of parents who say they're going to vaccinate their 5 and under is the smallest percentage of any age group. Mm-hmm. So they really want to convince parents of young kids that it is okay and you should go ahead and just take the shot.
I can understand the concerns.
Yes, they're valid.
Everybody has a decision they can make on their own.
Yes, they do. And that was, I think, a Sesame Street PSA. I believe it was in 2020, I think, because 2020. They were shameless in motivating children and parents that their babies had to be vaccinated. they kept telling him, they then, you know, because mothers were hesitant and parents, they then started telling them it would be safer for the rest of the family because the baby or the small child could get COVID and they could spread it to the family. So they had to be vaccinated to save the rest of you. It really was just a sick process, a sick process. And by the time I finish what I'm going to tell you today, you'll understand why I'm saying that. So here's the deal. In May, again, of 2025, RFK Jr. came out with his FDA director, Mark Makary, his NIH, National Institutes for Health, director, Jay Bhattacharya, and they made this statement. Of course, I have to tell you, no news outlet played this except for one, and I'll get to you. I'll get to that in just a second and tell you which news outlet actually deigned or dared to play the entire clip because it's so dangerous. And we're talking about now. We're not talking about 2 years ago. This is a statement made in May, and then all of these outlets jumped in, and I'll play some of them for you and show you what they did to it. But right now, I want you to hear what the nut of it is. What was the statement that he made? Clip 7, let's listen.
I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
That ends today. It's common sense and it's good science.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
We're now one step closer to realizing President Trump's promise to make America healthy again.
All right. So, and of course, you would have thought the world was ending. You heard what Reuters said. And of course, they did not allow Kennedy to have, that's 45 seconds, I think, that statement. Hardly any time at all. And yet what they did, was they cut it up in pieces so you couldn't actually hear the whole context. So I want to give you an idea because I'm making a point, couple of points. I'm going to get to the guts of what's actually happening in regard to your children's health, your baby's health, what the truth is about it. But I want to show you first the suppression. And this morning when I was preparing for this, because as I said, Alex Berenson, I saw his article about this child who was died. He was, you know, at the shot, he died from their Kid Cove trial and they buried it. They didn't report it. I don't think they would admit to it right now. And that was a child, a little child, I don't know, 6 months to 5 years. I don't know exactly how old. And, of course, we don't know if that's the only child. But that's the one that somehow, it was, I think, in some British data system. I think that's where Alex found it. And it's the lies and the cover-up are absolutely nauseating, infuriating, and all the rest of it. And they continue. So this morning when I'm trying to find information about the update on COVID vaccines for kids and all of that, you know what I got? I got such obstruction. Of course, you cannot get away from AI right now. And you think it's free, but it's not. It's controlling so much of what you're thinking. I'll give you an idea. This is what I got. I printed out the initial. I went deeper, you see. They always say, you want to go deeper? Yes, I'd like to go deeper. And so this is the statement. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., in his capacity as U.S. Health Secretary, announced in May 2025 that the COVID-19 vaccine was no longer recommended by the CDC for healthy children and pregnant women. They made the announcement posted on a social media, a video message. And Kennedy stated in a video that the COVID-19 vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women had been removed. And here's what it says about the video. This is YouTube. Oh, and AI, both. While the original social media post may be subject to platform content availability rules, news outlets have rebroadcasted the announcement and discussed its implications. Not really. I'm here to tell you they didn't. They edited it. They gave little phrases. In fact, Adam, go back. Play that Reuters, just the first few seconds of it. Listen to how they cut up what Kennedy had to say. This is clip 3.
Hi, everybody. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Hi, everybody. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Whoop. That's, they give you just a little taste of it to verify or sort of show you they're being a news outlet, but they're not. They're not. That's not long to play that announcement. They could have spent 45 seconds, but they didn't, and neither did any other outlet except for one, and I'll get to that in just a second. So here they go on this AI, going deeper thing with YouTube. This is what they said to me. Oh, by the way, I found this great clip with Senator Rand Paul grilling the former NIH director who was fired by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And Rand Paul, of course, is a doctor, and he's challenging her on a lot of points. And would you know that my whole system just jammed up? I couldn't, it would stop, the video would stop, and then it wouldn't start, and then it went blank. And then I got a message that says, if you want to continue, you might want to, this video linked blah, 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 is, It is interfering with your Wi-Fi, and if you might want to get out of that so that you can have good Wi-Fi service. And so I actually sent the link to myself. I sent it to myself twice and opened it, did the same thing every time. So trust me, censorship is alive and well. But to go back to this is AI. They're helping you, you see. Video access to that original social media post may be subject to platform content availability rules. It might be against the rules to show you that video. But here's where you can go to find out what really is happening. Go to PBS NewsHour or NBC News or Reuters, which we already play, or ABC News. Nothing else. That's where they recommend that you go to get more information. So I'll tell you what you do when you go to PBS or to Meet the Press. Let's just listen. This is clip four.
We want to turn now to an announcement today from Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that marks a major change to vaccine recommendations in this country.
I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule.
So that was a 1-minute video announcement posted on X where Kennedy went on to decry the Biden administration for recommending, quote, yet another COVID shot for children, saying there's no clinical data to support it. And the head of the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, called the change common sense and good science. The CDC previously recommended everyone 6 months and older should get a routine COVID shot. This is just the latest vaccine-related change at HHS under RFK Jr., who is, and you know, he's been a vocal vaccine skeptic and has at times trafficked in misinformation surrounding vaccines for decades.
He's a vaccine skeptic and he's trafficked in misinformation, this new Health and Human Services Director. And, you know, the former CDC would never have said this, but it was a minute video, which they didn't bother to play. They didn't bother to play it. They've got you all figured out. So that's one of your sources, says AI. That's one of your sources, says YouTube. But AI is really the one that led me to that. That's the source. That's where you're going to get the truth. Trust me, I had so much trouble. If I didn't have great sources, I would never have all this stuff I'm going to tell you today. So that was the NBC medical report. And then the anchor on NBC goes to their expert, health expert, and she weighs in. Let's listen, clip 5A.
NBC News medical reporter Erica Edwards joins us now to talk through some of these changes. Erica, thank you for being with us. Is there truth to what Secretary Kennedy said and the NIH director are saying about science pointing to making this change?
Hey, Kelly. Well, the answer is no. The CDC lists pregnancy itself as a major risk factor for complications from COVID. During the pandemic, doctors routinely saw pregnant women in the hospital and dying from COVID. Now, today, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists issued a statement saying, "We have seen firsthand how dangerous COVID infection can be during pregnancy and for newborns who depend on maternal antibodies from the vaccine for protection. We also understand that despite the change in recommendations from HHS, the science has not changed. It is very clear that COVID infection during pregnancy can be catastrophic and lead to major disability." Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics also this afternoon told me that it was not consulted about today's change. Meanwhile, pediatricians still tell me, Kelly, that they are seeing kids in the ER sick with COVID.
Okay, so if you believe that, I've got some property I'd like to sell you in the Florida Everglades. Really, honestly, by the time I think you already know this, we've been lied to so thoroughly, and the medical establishment is still so firmly entrenched in this fiction, this dangerous, murderous, horrible fiction They will not let it go. Why not? Because of the money. Follow the money, follow the money. I'll get to that in just a second. Okay, so that was, let's see, what was that, NBC News? And so this health reporter continues. There was another clip that I've somehow misplaced, but they interviewed a doctor. And she starts her report by talking about birthing persons. Birthing persons are a great danger when, you know, to COVID, birthing persons. So keep that in mind when you hear this clip, because this is the same NBC medical reporter talking about how highly unusual it is to change the rules now when we all know those rules were correct. And RFK Jr., of course, is a vaccine denier. What does he know? Well, let's listen. This is clip 5A.
And how are vaccines schedulely changed in this way? When they make a change on the recommendations, is it normal to do it like this? Because we didn't hear directly from the CDC here.
Yeah, this is highly unusual. Historically, what happens is that a group of independent scientists come together, they discuss the vaccine schedule, and then they make recommendations to the CDC director. Now, we don't have an acting CDC director right now, so that responsibility would fall to the CDC's boss, and today that is HHS Secretary Kennedy. But his announcement today totally bypassed that scientific process that's been in place for decades.
And that's the kind of thing people have worried about with Kennedy's stewardship. Would he be following the norms and the practices here?
Yeah, the norms and the practices were that you ask doctors who feel like the doctor whose clip I misplaced, who said, starts her statement out by saying birthing persons. If you think that might kind of tell as to where that person was in terms of the truth about things. So it's different. We're not gathering that, convening that group of, you know, gurus who believe in birthing persons to tell us about these vaccinations. And so now the mystery of what outlet do you think it was that actually told the truth on this? Was it PBS? No. Was it NBC? No. Was it Reuters? No. Was it ABC? No. It was... Well, we had to go all the way to Sky News in Australia to get the truth about that statement from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Let's listen.
RFK Jr. has made an announcement that's probably triggering for everyone against his MAHA movement. He's announced that he's no longer recommending for healthy children and healthy pregnant women to get the COVID vaccine. Let's take a listen.
I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. Last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
That ends today. It's common sense and it's good science.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
We're now one step closer to realizing President Trump's promise to make America healthy again.
Look, in my opinion, it seems like it's common sense at this point. We know the impact of COVID has significantly dropped, partly due to widespread immunity from either prior infections or vaccinations. And we know that vaccines are primarily designed to reduce severe outcomes and the risk of severe illness in healthy children. Well, that risk is low. Around 4% of hospitalizations from COVID involve children, mostly with underlying conditions. But of course, the mainstream media always freak out when RFK Jr. is in the headlines in the same way they freak out about Donald Trump and Elon Musk. This is how CBS covered the announcement. They had an article that they published with the headline, "Health Experts Fear Potential Public Health Impacts from RFK Jr. Halting COVID Vaccine Recommendations for Kids, Pregnant Women." Now, health experts and fear, these it seems like a headline straight out of 2020, But on RFK Jr.'s announcement, it also comes amid concerns about potential rare side effects from the vaccine, such as myocarditis, if I am pronouncing that correctly, a heart inflammation linked to the mRNA vaccines, particularly in younger individuals. As we covered last week, Biden officials knew about potential COVID-19 vaccine risks and took steps to downplay them, which, in my opinion, is unforgivable.
If you really want to know what's happening, I think you have to go to Sky News Australia. That is if AI will let you. I tell you, I am increasingly concerned about AI. I just got a new phone, and I'm totally overtaken by it. It's an aside, I recognize. I was trying to get onto Facebook, which I don't use hardly ever. I use it professionally because Amy Suddeth works for me and she helps me. Other people use it and weigh in on it. But I'm not. I'm just not a social media person. I don't. I hate what it does to me, to be honest with you. But I go on to. I want to see what's going on with my son and my daughter-in-law, my kids in Canada. So I go on for that purpose. I couldn't get on it. I couldn't get on it on my new phone unless I gave them all of my contacts, all of their phone numbers, all of their addresses. I have like 1,200. And until I told them, they had to know my location, they had all of these things. And they will not let me access Facebook unless I do that. And I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. I cannot do that. All of the people that I know, really, release that to them? I don't think so. But this is just one thing. So with this new world we're in, I want to caution you that there is not a free flow of information. There isn't. I think the censorship is really picking up. And I'll give you an example of why I think that's true. Now, X is still free. X is still a great source of information. If you don't have an account on X, and I think he may be changing it back to Twitter. He just did a survey on that. If you don't have an account, I think you should get one. Not so you can weigh in and give your opinions, because I really do think it's more for news types like me. But if you want to know what's actually happening in the world, that's where you can find trustworthy information from thoughtful people. Of course, there's some, you know, crazy people on there too, but not many. At least not you sign up for who you want to listen to. And listen, we're running out of ways to get the truth. And so I'm just telling you that X is that. And to give you an example of why that's true a different way, the European Commission, because this is a global outlet, but it's an American company, Elon Musk's X platform, the European Commission, just fined them $140 million on December the 5th. Why? Because they didn't follow transparency rules under their Digital Services Act. They have a Digital Services Act. And the main complaints were that they do blue checks, which they sell for $8 a month. $8 a month, you can get Premium X, which I have. But their complaint is that they don't do rigorous identity checks. They don't do rigorous identity checks. X doesn't. And they fined X $45 million pounds for that. It's important that the EU, of course, track each and every user for non-PC speech. We can get away with it here in the United States, that the EU, man, they're not having it. No siree. And certainly China's not having it. And so we're one of the last bastions, and X is one of the last bastions of free speech. So the second thing, they are fining them, Elon Musk and X, for inadequate advertising repository. In other words, X failed to maintain a transparent database of ads, including details on payers, targeting, and content. In other words, everything about everything. They did not turn it over to the European Union. And last but not least, Elon's being fined $140 million for restricted data access for researchers. X did not provide adequate access to public platform data, hindering studies on content moderation, algorithms, and systemic risk. Don't ask me to explain all that, except my understanding is that they can't track what they want to track. They can't gather information like they think they should be able to gather. And so here's Elon taking it on the chin, and they told him that's just a beginning. They're going to fine him billions if he's noncompliant. So hats off to Elon Musk. I really and truly, what a bold person who came out of nowhere. Who would have thought to really stand up for free speech? All right, but back to the issue at hand, because I want to get to that. I want to give you another angle here before, let's see. No, I'll go right to this. This is Dr. Robert Malone has been my guest several times, and Dr. Malone is working with RFK Jr. now. He is acting as the ACIP vice chairman. I've never, you know, the medical community has as many acronyms as any group, the military and all of them. So if you can keep up with them, you're a better man than I am. But I want to talk about the money. Dr. Malone points out that COVID-19 vaccines earned $100 billion globally. The annual U.S. vaccine market is estimated to be over $30 billion, projected to pass $50 billion in a decade. And a single new vaccine for pregnant women has industry analysts estimating $1 billion a year in annual returns. Now, let me just pause for a second. And we're not just talking about the drug companies. We're talking about remember how they paid hospitals to give the vaccine? Do you remember how they paid hospitals to label patients that had fallen from a ladder, COVID positive, died with COVID? They got another couple, $300,000 for the patients that died with COVID. They gave them money to put on respirators, which caused people's death. There's a lot of money here, and that's why your hospital that you used to trust, I'm one of those who used to trust, I don't trust my hospital anymore because they're still pushing for the COVID vaccine. And if they push for the COVID vaccine, then what else are they pushing for that's fake and they're making money off of it? I'm going to go on with the money here. So that one vaccine is projected to earn $1 billion in annual returns. Additionally, vaccines do not go generic. So there's not another path. You have to get the one that's by the drug company. So talking about the money again, just for a second, Dr. Malone actually traced the, this is one entity, Bill Gates and his funding in regard to the COVID vaccine. So stay with me for a second because I know I have a chart in front of me and it's hard to describe a chart, but I'm going to try to make this simple. I'll do it according to how much he spent. He spent the most money, $870 million, Bill Gates paid $870 million to Johns Hopkins University, which then provided data, statistics, maps, and COVID resources. So they allowed themselves to be the avenue for this dangerous, horrible deception that killed so many people. Johns Hopkins, the once most respected, why not choose the most respected and pay them $870 million and see if you can get them to come your way? I believe that was very successful. The next amount he gave, the next highest was, actually, I skipped one. This is billion. That was only $870 million. Let's go to the billions. $4.3 billion, $4.3 billion Bill Gates gave to the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization, the one we battled under Biden because Biden was willing to give the World Health Organization the authority to decide for us when we needed to shut down our country, when we needed to give vaccines. He was going to give all of that autonomy to the World Health Organization, which is so corrupt. It is unbelievable. It's run by a communist. I can't even think of his name in a moment. I used to know it on the tip of my tongue. But the World Health Organization, finally, God, thank you. When President Trump was elected, he pulled us out of that. But Bill Gates gave the World Health Organization $4.3 billion. And, of course, they provide the chief medical advisors to governments worldwide. They're supposed to be the experts, and they're not the experts. They're diehard leftists, sometimes communists. The head of the guy is a communist. And that's what Bill did, and it had a tremendous influence. And we're talking about the whole world here. Let's see. Where's another billion here? Let me see. Okay, so $3 billion. He gave to Gavi, which is a global health partnership with the goal of increasing immunizations in poor countries. So, you know, a lot of people like Bill Gates want to depopulate the earth. You do know that, right? They love abortion. They want to depopulate because they think we have too many people and we'd be better if we had less people. Not them. They want to stay. But they have great plans for the poor. As they act like they're trying to help them, they actually are trying to kill them. I'm overstating, but I think not by too much. So $3 billion to Gavi. So here's some of the others. I won't mention the amounts, but, well, yes, I will. Let me go here. $18 million to the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the NIH. And guess who was the beneficiary of tons of that money? I don't have the breakdown here, but it's a guy you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Because he was the director and the chief medical advisor to the U.S. government. Oh, he gave us his advice, all right. And I want to remind you, he made millions, if not billions. He was a patent owner on some of this technology for COVID and other things. He was the one that oversaw the Wuhan lab project. Yeah, so Bill Gates gave him, you know, a lot of money. So the others, BBC, Media Action, England's chief medical officer, the University of Oxford, Imperial College London, and each of them played their role. So there's a lot of money, and your hospital and your doctor, if he's corrupt, like your hospital probably still is, they can make money. And also, they're just pressure. You have to act like you have to act like, you know, you think the vaccines are the greatest thing since sliced bread, and people are going to be harmed if they don't take them. So let's go back to Dr. Malone. Dr. Malone is one of the inventors. This is always hard to say, I have to be careful, of the mRNA vaccine. And so he's really vested in this. And I know Dr. Malone well enough to say he actually had the vaccine himself and had some problems. So he has a unique platform and a unique ability to address this because he's one of the inventors, not of the COVID vaccine, but the mRNA technology. And so this is what he has to say to parents in regard to these shots. And you have to listen. Here it is, clip 8.
Before you inject your child, a decision that is irreversible, I wanted to let you know the scientific facts about this genetic vaccine, which is based on the RNA vaccine technology I created. There are three main issues that parents need to understand before they take this irrevocable decision. The first is that a viral gene will be injected into your parent's cells. This gene forces your child's body to make toxic spike proteins. These proteins often cause permanent damage in children's critical organs. These organs include their brain and nervous system, their heart and blood vessels, including blood clots, their reproductive system, and most importantly, this vaccine can trigger fundamental changes to their immune system. The most alarming point about this is that once these damages have occurred, they are irreparable. They cannot be reversed. You can't fix the lesions within their brains. You cannot repair heart tissue scarring. You cannot repair a genetically reset immune system. And this vaccine can cause reproductive damage that could affect future generations of your family.
Dr. Robert Malone, who has become a good friend to me, I can hardly bear to hear that, not because of him, but because of us and our kids. Because of people that we know, our kids that got these vaccines are not kids anymore, are they? And I'm seeing things happening now that are just mind-blowing. Things that fall in the category that he talked about for children and young adults and older adults, too. I don't see it so much in older people like myself, but the middle-aged people dying from all kinds of weird things. And how are we going to know? How do we know? But we have to, in the broad sweep of things, we know that the vaccine did the same damage to older people as they did to the kids. It's just that Dr. Malone's talking about the kids. All right, now I want to tell you some good news, though. Can I do that? Because if you're like me, you need it. I mean, this is just stuff of just to pause and weep at what we've allowed. There's another guy named Dr. Vinay Prasad, and he's just made an announcement. He is on the NIH, and I think it's another acronym. It looks like it's CBER, C-B-E-R. Okay, so this is Dr. Malone writing about it. He said, I spent hours Monday doom-scrolling through X, the platform that tells the truth, monitoring the outrage and consternation concerning FDA's CBER director, Dr. Vinay Prasad's official leaked acknowledgement that there have been COVID mRNA-induced vaccine deaths of children. He said he's nuts. Not news to him. But anyway, he said, I am embargoed by federal law from disclosing what I know. However, I can assure you that the findings of Dr. Tracy Beth Hoag, the FDA Office of Commissioner and FDA liaison, are much more shocking than just the number and age of the vaccine-related deaths. I have been alerting parents to the risks of harm to children from the genetic COVID vaccines for many years now. Not surprisingly, I experienced a wave of concerted attacks for this from corporate media, internet trolls, bots, and even the Israeli and Spanish governments. But I stand by every word and have been vindicated and validated. Last year, while quietly serving as an expert witness in a large mandates case filed against the largest school district in the USA, I made the point that the district had mandated children and employee use of a product and medical procedure that had death as a side effect. At that point, the defense basically folded and settled the case out of court. There was no way to mitigate the impact of the truth bomb of that truth bomb on a jury. There was no credible defense against the fact that children and adults were required to receive an injected product that had death as a known side effect, not to mention myocarditis, both of which side effects we now know were covered up by U.S. federal officials. Here's a doctor who's done a great job of making this information public. You have to sign up for her Substack in order to get it. I'll just read the nut of it. Dr. Marianne DeMasi, she's a PhD, not a medical doctor. She said, an unprecedented admission inside the FDA has shattered years of government assurances about COVID vaccine safety and may signal the most consequential overhaul of vaccine oversight yet. Now, this has just happened. So this is really, I'm getting to the good news here, in spite of the horrible news. So there have been regulatory policy changes, according to Dr. Prasad. It's going to have an profound impact on positions and recommendations to the CDC director. Dr. Mullen writes, I suspect it will also transform, revolutionize the entire vaccine industry unless it gets blocked from implementation in some way. So what is he talking about? This is what Dr. Prasad has written. Okay, I'm going to read part of it. Prior to joining the U.S. FDA, the FDA commissioner closely followed reports of vaccine-induced myocarditis. Unlike the COVID virus, which has a steep age gradient, being at least 1,000 times more likely to kill an 80-year-old than an 8-year-old, myocarditis appeared to have the opposite pattern. Young, healthy boys and men, those least likely to experience bad COVID outcomes, bore the greatest risk. The risk was as high as 200 to 330 per million doses given in the highest risk demographic groups. Notably, the U.S. FDA and CDC were not the first to recognize the safety signal. Instead, the Israelis were. And worse, in May of 2021, then-CDC Director Rochelle Walensky stated, we have not seen this signal, and we've actually looked intentionally for the signal in the over 200 million doses we've given. Many felt this statement was dishonest and manipulative. Prasad is describing the official position that the risk of myocarditis is the highest risk. It's got a huge, the numbers are staggering. I'm not going to give them to you because they're like hard to listen to, easier to read. And he goes on to point out that the former CDC director, Walensky, lied and thereby suppressed public disclosure of what was then known to be myocarditis serious adverse events. Putting these facts together, it is horrifying to consider that the U.S. vaccine regulation, including our actions, may have harmed more children than we saved. It is now the official position of the FDA cyber that USG vaccine policies, listen now, this is the new policy, may have caused more harm than would have been associated with allowing SARS-CoV-2 to infect children without vaccination. It looks like we may have done more harm, caused more deaths to children from giving them the vaccine that they have gone just naturally and gotten sick, a little bit sick. This overlooks the additional impact of active FDA and USG suppression of the early treatment options pioneered by frontline physicians all over the world. Remember that? Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, they were demonized. Those early treatment things, and there were other things too. They were horrible. They wouldn't let, the doctors wouldn't even give that to you or to your children. So think about that in addition. Prasad appears to be implicitly acknowledging that the mRNA and adenoviral vectored COVID vaccine products are in fact gene therapies. And that would imply that the gene therapy guidance to industry would apply to these vaccine products. Now stay with me, because I know if you're like me, I can't really define what gene therapy guidance is, but it's a separate thing from a vaccine. It's not a vaccine has traditionally been something that actually does cure the disease, like polio, like measles, like mumps, or it prevents it from ever even happening. That's why we have so little of that in the United States, is because of real vaccines. The COVID vaccine is nothing like that. He says it's more like gene therapy, whatever that is, and we'll get into that some other day. Back to the money, Prasad is acknowledging that the unique nature of vaccine products and the associated regulatory positions, including the CDC VFC policies, by the way, results in a highly profitable virtual long-term monopoly for these products. Therefore, this is what the new doctor says, and this is what Dr. Mullen's writing that he said. Our general approach to CBER will be to direct vaccine regulation towards evidence-based medicine. Evidence-based medicine. This means we will take swift action regarding this new safety concern. We will not be granting marketing authorization to vaccines in pregnant women based on unproven surrogate endpoints. Any prior promises will be null and void, and we will demand pre-market randomized trials assessing clinical endpoints for most new products. He goes on to say pneumonia vaccine makers will have to show their products reduce pneumonia and not merely generate any body titters or titers, whatever they call that. The statement he writes that says we will take swift action regarding this new safety concern actually refers to the pediatric death adverse event now associated with COVID vaccine products. And so they're actually implying that on these products, there's going to be, we think, a black box warning. What of? Of death. A warning on the shot, the label of the medicine, that death is a side effect. In addition to the current myocarditis warning, which is there now because finally someone did something about that, it suggests a high likelihood of rescinding FDA authorization for use of these products in children and young adults. We will not be granting market authorization to vaccines in pregnant women based on unproven surrogate endpoints. That's a repeat of what he said earlier. Okay, so we will revise the annual flu vaccine framework, which is an evidence-based catastrophe of low-quality evidence, poor surrogate assays, and uncertain vaccine effectiveness measured in case-control studies with poor methods. We will reappraise safety and be honest in vaccine labels. So Dr. Mullen now speaking. That was the statement written by Dr. Prasad. He says, Dr. Mullen says, I cannot overstate the importance and impact of this brief statement. This is truly revolutionary. Sacred cows previously not allowed to be questioned or examined are suddenly being lined up for slaughter. And this is back to Dr. Prasad's words. We will reappraise safety and be honest in vaccine labels. Dr. Mullen, this is code for saying that annual and pandemic influenza vaccine labeling, specifically package inserts, will have been misleading and have historically not provided an accurate assessment and disclosure of safety risks. One last thing about the money. The annual influenza vaccine market alone in the USA generates annual sales of $4.5 to $5 billion for about 148 million doses. Also relevant is the impact of these policy shifts on influenza vaccine mandates in schools, hospitals, universities, medical schools, U.S. military. The ripple effect will be widespread, and maybe your local pharmacy will stop advertising all the vaccines they can give you. Just come and sit down in a chair and let them do that to you. So there is a conclusion here, and I want you to hear it. This is the most comprehensive shift in vaccine industry regulatory policies in my lifetime and over 30 years of experience working in this industry. As FDA and CBER have traditionally set the standard for global vaccine regulatory policies, this is likely to have a ripple effect across the European Union, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. And you can expect that pharma, captured academics, and their media surrogates will mount an aggressive propaganda campaign aimed at discrediting Dr. Prasad and these policies. The UK has determined already that COVID vaccine-associated death data are not to be disclosed. That position may not be sustainable now. We are in uncharted territory, and that is the good news. Well, I'm going to take a very brief break and come back with one last, really, just, I don't know, word of advice from Dr. Mullen. So stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
There are babies in their mother's wombs who need our help right now. And as the year comes to a close, and it is coming to a close, it's coming too quickly, really. Your tax-deductible donation can be the difference between life and death. Would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your gift of $5, $10, or $15,000 would be used to save countless babies for years to come. It could buy an ultrasound machine. There's so many things they could do with that money, not designated, because, of course, they do a lot more than just provide ultrasound. If you would like to help in a big way at the end of the year, if you're able and you have the money, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
The second thing you need to know is about the fact that this novel technology has not been adequately tested. We need at least 5 years of testing and research before we can really understand the risks associated with this new technology. The harms and risk from new medicines often become revealed many years later. I ask you to ask yourself, as a fellow parent, if you want your child to be part of the most radical experiment in human history. One final point. The reason they're giving you to vaccinate your child is a lie. Your children represent no danger to their parents or grandparents. It's actually the opposite. Their immunity after getting COVID is critical to save your family, if not the world, from this disease. Finally, in summary, there's no benefit for your children or your family to be vaccinating your children against the small risks of the virus, given the known health risks of the vaccine that, as a parent, you and your children may have to live with for the rest of your lives. The risk-benefit analysis is not even close with this vaccine for children. As a parent and grandparent, my strong recommendation to you is to resist and fight to protect your children.
Dr. Robert Malone, he'll go down in history as a great man, I think, and because he's certainly spoken the truth. And thank God RFK Jr. hired him. Thank God President Trump appointed RFK Jr., a very controversial nomination for the Health and Human Services Secretary. And thank God that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a place around him, a team of people who really were nearly ruined because they spoke out about COVID. And now they have a chance to make a difference, and they're making it. And so that's the update. I know it's Christmas, but I just wanted you to know that because you're getting inundated now again with vaccine pitches. And I want you to remember again how bad this is. And think about it before certainly you have your children vaccinated. And think about it for yourself, too. I want to remind you that Preborn is our sponsor, and I want to remind you that they need your help. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. And meanwhile, thank you. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.